a few verses, but was going to more exegete it. I just want to give you one thought, and then we'll get back to it next week. But it's because of the word of the Lord that came through Paula about sitting at His feet. And I was not going to share. I had determined that I wasn't going to, because I hadn't heard anything that was bringing it to that point. And I just wanted to share this rapidly with us. It's about sitting at His feet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have looked at this chapter now down through verse 23. And my purpose tonight was to do verse 23 through 25, but I was going to exegete it in a more teaching way. Judy, are my spectacles there? I can see it, but it's... Yeah, there. I want to read this to you, and then you read it in your scriptures, and then I want to just give you a thought that the Lord has shown me from this passage. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup also after sup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as oft as you drink in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup," what are you doing? You're proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. The thing I was going to do tonight, and I probably will, but I was going to, because I had shared with you last time that the table of the Lord was built around the Passover. That the Lord had brought His disciples and had prepared the, had sent them ahead of Him to prepare the Passover in the upper room, and the Lord had gone to Passover, and that the table of the Lord was around the Passover. We looked at that scripture in Luke that said, after they supped, He took the cup and said. So the Lord's table is actually around the Passover. And a thing that you must hear, you'll know it, but you must hear this, is that it was the Lord Himself that went through all the steps of the Passover, and there are 18 of these steps. It is He who recited, as the Father would to His family. It was the Lord who would recite to His disciples the rites of the Passover. Do you know what I'm saying? The Passover was a feast that put them in a memorial, that brought them in a remembrance mode. And there was a lot of reciting that was done. There were four cups of fruit of the vine. There were loaves of bread, and there was a dish of salt water. There was a dish of fresh water. There was a cup of juice or wine or fruit of the vine at each location. There was a plate with a piece of lamb and a boiled egg and some things here. And all these meant something. And every time that they would go through another stage of the meal, then the leader or the father of the house, in this particular case, at the table of the Lord at the Passover in the upper room, the Lord Himself would have been the one leading them and going through the Passover. So it was Him who was doing these things. And then He institutes the table of the Lord. And what I was going to do tonight was walk us through all 18 of these steps. I'm not going to do that now. But I do want to give us this thought, because I think it's the key thought. When you study scriptures, and you give your life to studying the Word of God, you get into all these different theologies, you get into all these different thoughts. For example, the Word says here that Jesus says, "This is My body." He doesn't say, "This is a symbol of My body." He doesn't say, "This is like My body." What does He say? "This is My body." And so then every group begins to take it and and put it into what they want it to mean, and so you come up with these different philosophies. For example, the Roman Catholics' philosophy is that what really happens here is called transubstantiation, which means that the bread really does become the flesh, and the blood really does, and the juice or the fruit of the vine really does become blood. That's called transubstantiation, and that's what the Roman Catholics have in their doctrine. When you move on and you find out that then you go in like to Lutheran's doctrine, and his is called consubstantiation, which means that through the bread and through the fruit of the vine, you get the body and you get the blood. It's kind of, you get it together. And then you come into Calvinism, and you see, you study all these things because you want to know the truth. You want to know. And so you study and you read and you trust these men because they're men of God, and you trust the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth. But you're getting all this stuff, you see. You come into Calvinism, and Calvinism just basically says it's a symbol. It's just a symbol. It's bread and it's juice and it's just a symbol. And so I began to deal with this because I wanted to project what we felt, what I believe and what we believe in this eldership and what we think that happens. And I don't really know if I agree with any of those. I know it's not flesh when I eat it. It's bread. But I know it's more than a symbol. And so I began to deal with it and looking at this passage, and here is what I want to say, and I want to say it briefly. I think we've missed the emphasis. We've got so involved with the bread, and whether it's grape juice or wine or whatever that it is, that we've missed what the Lord is really trying to do here. He says, do this not to remember the bread and the juice, but do this in remembrance of me. And the bread is important, and the liquid is important. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I think that we have gotten to a place that we've lost what he's trying to present to us. Because the whole aspect of Passover, and this was built around Passover, the whole aspect of Passover was to put those people back into the remembrance of the Passover, of that day, of that hour. The Father was to say this. This is what the Lord God said to the Father to do. And thou shalt show thy Son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. In that day, he's talking about generations past, but when he takes his family and he gives his family the Passover meal, he was to say, when the Lord brought me out of Egypt. In other words, he was supposed to project it as if it were he that the Lord brought out of Egypt. And the Lord said, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it real quick, I'm just about done. The Lord says, you do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. What we've got to do, we've got to get into this mentality. That when we partake of the table of the Lord, that we go back and we sit at His feet, Paula, and we enter into that upper room with Him. And we sit there and we hear Him say these words. This is my body broken for you. And we hear Him say these wonderful things. Take, drink. This is the cup of the new covenant. We've got to come into the place in the table of the Lord that we leave all the incidentals of what the bread is, if it was real wine or if it was grape juice. And we've got to come to the place where we come to the table of the Lord and we're with those 12 disciples. And we're sitting at His feet. And you said, come and lay at my feet, I think is what the word of the Lord was. It was something like that. And you see, and when they came to eat, they didn't sit at tables like we do. Now that, now the, you know, the table, the Last Supper that's painted and portrayed for us is not the way that they really, they laid on the floor and they reclined and they would eat. And they weren't all spread out. They were in a circle, and the food was right here in the center. And these guys were close, and they were right there with him, laying at his feet, listening to him share about the Passover, share about the things of God, supping with him, eating with him, laying at his feet. And all I want to say tonight is that when we come to church on Sundays, when we're together, it's as though we're coming together, and we need to get ourselves in a mentality where we come and we recline with him and we lay at his feet. That we're preparing the Passover. Can you imagine how it was from that point on, every time one of those 12 men, one of those 11, minus Judas, every time they went, and every time they had the Passover, what they would think about? What would they remember? They remember when they had it with Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. Every time you do it like you're doing it with me. And I don't think it's important if it's transubstantiation or if it's consubstantiation or if it's a symbol. But it is important that when we have it, it's more than bread, it's more than juice, and it's more than a doctrine, but it's experiencing him. It's coming to his presence. When they had the Passover, they were to project it. Their minds were to go into some kind of time machine, if you will allow me to use that, and they were to go back, and they were to come out of Egypt. They were to come through the Red Sea. That's what the salty water was for. The hyssop was a bitter herb. The hyssop was a stick, but they had bitter herbs in the Passover, which represented the hyssops that spread the blood. They slayed the lamb. They went back and they did all that again. They came through that Red Sea. They ate the bread of affliction. And their minds went back and they did it with Moses. And what the Lord wants us to hear tonight is we've got to learn to come and recline with him. Amen. It's more than a Sunday evening or a Sunday morning. It's coming and reclining with him. Partaking of him. Listening to him. Can you imagine how it would be if we can get into that mentality? We just want to hear what you got to say, Lord. Speak to us. Tell us the secrets of life. Tell us. And on bended ear, we sing a song, I think, about on bended ear. Bended ear, they waited for him. Bended knee, that's what we sing, isn't it? Well, I got a bended ear. Coming with this full anticipation of what the Lord has to say. Do you think that we can move into something like that? I'll amplify this probably again maybe next week or whenever. Because I do want us to have a visual image of what happened that night. I want to try to walk us through it. And really what I want to do, and I've talked with Dr. Cash and a few of them, what I really want to do Easter time is I really want, maybe before then, but I want a Messianic Jew to come and take us through the Passover feast. And it'll cost us a little bit to do it, but come and have tables set up in here and let them take us through it so that we'll have a real visual image so that when we do it, we wouldn't want tables, would we? We want to recline with him. Amen. Move out the chairs. But so that we would have a real visual image of what that really was like that night. And see, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying there. And I want to read this scripture because I think if once I read this that you'll see that that's exactly what this passage is trying to project to us. Verse 25 says this, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." The purpose of doing it is to show that night that they spent with him in the upper room, that going to the to Gethsemane, that to remember these things, how it was that day when they crucified him, how those days were, how it was when they hung him on the cross, and how it was when that you do show the Lord's death. You go through it again. You're showing it. You're doing an exhibition of the Lord's death until he comes again. Do you think that transubstantiation is the emphasis here, Dr. Cash? None of those things seems to really be the emphasis, but his presence is the emphasis. Amen. And coming into that is the most emphatic thing I know of. Amen. Let's stand and pray and go to the Western Sizzler. Have communion. Amen. Father, bring this body to a mentality, Lord, that we're with you. And that, Lord, make it somehow quicken to us. Give us a visual image. Set that thing up for us, Lord, that we can see what it would have really been like that night. Sitting, reclining at sop with you. Listening to you as you told the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. How it would have been as you made the Red Sea open, and how it really would have been, Lord, listening to you tell it. Bring our minds, Lord, to that place where we're coming into your presence and where we're expending real time with you. Lord, keep this fresh on us. Let us really learn what you're trying to say to this body and to this church through this word. A real presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want all the leadership to come up here. Barry came to me and just wanted to know if the body could just pray for us. And so I just want you to come on up here. This is a good way just to. And I want all the leadership up here, Steve and Lance and all of us. Amen. Why don't you just stretch your hands out? And Barry wanted to know if they could pray for us. I just want you to pray for us. He said that he was praying, and what he felt was that he knows that we, being the coverings, are the first ones to get attacked. And he just wanted to pray for us in that way. So would you just stretch your hands and just pray for us? Father, we thank you for this people. We thank you, Lord God, for their prayers and for their love. Father, I know there's not a day that goes by that somebody in this body doesn't pray for me, pray for my family, and pray for my children. And Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, that we'll do what's right. Show us what to do. Thank you, Lord. Let us do what's right, oh God. Thank you, Lord. We receive the prayers, Lord. We receive the prayers, and Father, we just ask that you receive the prayers. Amen. Amen. Well, I do want to tell you, we have a very solid leadership. There's no dissensions in our leadership. We all love each other. None of us wish that another wasn't involved with us. I know that oftentimes that happens in churches. Their leadership gets squabbles among them. We don't have any of that. We don't put up with it, for one thing. We deal with it rapidly if anything were to come up. And even in our meetings, sometimes we raise our voices. But before we leave that place, our hearts are back right, and we go out of there with a right heart. And we have good meetings. We have good meetings because you got strong men. These aren't weak guys. These aren't yes guys by no means. Believe me. They are not yes guys. And they are for the, they want the good of the body. They want the good of the body, and they're knowledgeable. Knowledgeable men. Amen. Good men. Good men. Good men. You should be proud of your leadership. This could be leadership in any church anywhere. Any church anywhere. Amen. Well, good evening. God bless you.